Shall we bow our hearts in prayer? Gracious God, as we come before you this morning, I pray that you would give me the words that you want me to say in giving this report of what is happening in this ministry, the Gideon's International. As we go forth this day, may we remember that we are witnesses for you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God makes promises, and God keeps his promises. And his promises are unchanging. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, we read these words. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. There was a young girl named Carrie Christie, and Carrie's mother was an artist. And Carrie used to travel with her mother around the country as her mother would be showing her artwork. Well, one day when they were in Georgia, Carrie stole a Bible. And she brought it home and she hid it on the shelf in her closet. You know, We don't condone stealing, but it's surprising how many times a Bible is picked up, stolen in a hotel or motel room, and then God performs miracles with it. So Carrie hid this Bible, and then she went off to college. And while she was at the University of Georgia, she got in with some other Christian girls, and she became a Christian. And she would study her Bible. Well, her mother became ill with cancer, and Carrie came home to visit her mother. And she said, "Mother, I know there's some very comforting scriptures that I'd like to share with you, but I left my Bible at school." Well, Carrie's mother said to her, "You know, I was cleaning your closet one day, and I found a Bible on the shelf. I bet it's still up there." And so Carrie went, and she pulled down that Bible and she shared with her mother words of comfort from the Bible. Carrie's mother accepted Christ after Carrie shared with her. Well, who are the Gideons? You know, you have Gideons come here and speak. The last one that was here was my friend Don Fogel from the place just down the road here. I passed it on my way in. Don was here 2 years ago. But we are business and professional men. We believe the Bible as the inspired word of God. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God. And he is our personal Savior. And each one of us, we Gideons, are all members of a Protestant or evangelical church. We are international in scope. Believe it or not, we are now in 200 countries around the world. And I think the last time I read somewhere, there are only, I believe, 212 countries that we know of, but they keep changing. New countries form and some old ones close down or change their name. So it's kind of hard to keep up with. But right now our count's at 200. That's probably four or five more than when Don was here 2 years ago. We distribute God's holy word in these countries in 90 to 93 languages. We do that so that they can read God's word in a language that they can understand. In St. Petersburg, you know where that is, the former Soviet Union. The Gideons were in there distributing testaments, and they came to this one cell, and the prisoner in the cell said, when I came into this prison, I didn't want to hear anything about God. I didn't want to read anything about God, and I didn't want to hear it. I had nothing to do with God. But you know, if you haven't figured it out yet or not, God has a sense of humor that we don't always catch. But this prisoner was put in a cell where some former inmate in that cell had taken the words from one of the testaments, pulled them out, and pasted them on the wall, so that no matter where this man looked on the walls, he had to see God's word. And he would read a little bit at a time. And so when the Gideons came in there, he said, I've been in this cell, and I had nothing else to do but stare at the walls, and there was God's word. Could you tell me more about this Jesus? And so the Gideons shared with him about how Jesus had come and had died for each one of us for the sins which we've committed. There was a gentleman named Mr. Jewell. Now, Mr. Jewell was in his 80s, and I've always said Mr. Jewell reminds me a little bit of my grandfather, because my grandfather had a rickety old ladder. And matter of fact, I have that rickety old ladder now. So my son is scared to death of it. He won't climb it, but I do. Well, some kids had received a testament at school. And on their way home, one of the children took and he threw the testament up onto Mr. Jewell's porch roof. And Mr. Jewell saw that this testament was up there. And so he got his ladder and he crawled up and he took that testament down. He realized then that this was God's holy word. Now, Mr. Jewell had attended church as a young man. He had accepted Christ, but like many others, he backslid. And I'll warn these young people down here, you want to be careful of that. We sometimes accept Christ at an early age, and then we go off and we backslide and kind of forget about it. But Mr. Jewell took that testament, and I can just kind of picture him sitting and reading it, probably with a magnifying glass, because as we get a little older, these little testaments are a little hard to read. I can still read them with my glasses on, but I'm not 81 or 82 years old yet. So although I have a grandchild that said they thought I was 88 on my last birthday, so but they don't understand age. So Mr. Jewell could be seen reading his testament, sitting there, and he found in the back of the testament the plan of salvation. He read the scriptures, and the message penetrated his heart. And he said, I knew this was what I needed. I needed Jesus, so I asked him once again to save me. In 2005, Mr. Jewell was diagnosed with a terminal illness and has since gone home to be with the Lord. But he was able to accept the reality of his illness with hope, the hope for today, and the hope for eternity. So never underestimate the value of one testament, and never underestimate what God intended it for when that was distributed. We are, as I mentioned, in other countries, and we try to distribute God's word so that the people can read it. Well, I have with me here a English-Japanese testament. And there was a fella that was in the hospital, and he took the Bible from the bedstand, and he took it home with him. And his son began to read it. You see, his reason for taking the testament was not to learn about Jesus. His reason was that it was a bilingual testament that on the one side of the page had Japanese and the other side had English. And he wanted to learn to read English. And so he took that testament and he began to read. He read in Mark chapter 7 that which cometh out of the mouth defileth the man, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts. Well, he hoped, I can improve by and by, he thought to himself. And 4 or 5 years later, he went to a tent meeting. And there he heard the words, he was drawn by the words from Matthew that say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest." He heard the story of the prodigal son, and he realized the joy of salvation from hearing that story. When he wrote to the Gideons a few years ago, his testimony was signed, "The Reverend Narichi Shibata, pastor of the Bethany Christian Assembly of God in Miyoshi, Japan." So with the desire to learn English, he then got the desire to come to know Christ. It was during the first Gulf War that the soldiers were only a few miles, they were in Saudi Arabia, just very close to the border. There was no music, no movies, no TV, no electricity. And the first month they were there, they didn't even receive their mail from home. So the men and the women there, they were very aware that war was imminent. They were concerned about the tanks, the Iraqi elite guard, the Scud missiles, the chemical warfare that was taking place. The soldiers began to thinking in depth about their situation, and they asked for some Christian reading materials. So a large supply of Gideon testaments was brought to them, and they distributed these testaments. And except for the rest periods that they had and worship services, they had to work 7 days a week. Soon, a large number of them started to attend the chapel services that the chaplain began to have, and they began to have Bible studies. And the Holy Spirit began to move. And so by the time the troops were within 4 miles of the Iraqi border, the Holy Spirit had touched many hearts, and they were saved. But when they were saved, then they wanted to be baptized. So Chaplain Guy Lindsay, found a supply of water. We had, we used to call them water buffaloes when I was in the service. These big tanks of water that they hauled around behind the trucks. And so they also had a survival raft. So they dug a pit, put the survival raft in there, and the chaplain began to baptize soldiers. The first day, 30 were baptized. And as the days grew, they lost count on how many were baptized. But every time the 3rd Brigade stopped in the desert, more and more would be baptized. So in Saudi Arabia, many found eternal life through Jesus Christ. Actually, since 1941, in World War II, was when we began to distribute the testaments to the military. And today, I happen to have one that is one that would be used over in the desert areas. It's camouflage in a light color. But used to have darker ones when during the Vietnam conflict. It was a darker testament that they had for them. There was a young girl who lived in a village where they had a lot of devil worshipers. And in that village, her name, the girl's name was Sima, S-I-M-A, and her village school was visited by the Gideons. And the Gideons distributed the testaments to the children. And when the tribal priest discovered the matter, he asked the young people of the tribe to collect the testaments, and they would burn them. Well, young Sima had been contemplating about the purpose of life, and as she was cleaning her yard, she picked up a burned page from one of the Gideon testaments. She read the scripture where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Sima immediately hid that page, but she couldn't stop wondering about the Jesus person. She found out from some of the local children more about the burning of these books, and she went to the place and she got one. She began to secretly read God's word, and she prayed for the meaning of its message. God was faithful, and he touched her heart. She then began to pray and pray for her mother. And much to her surprise and joy, when she finally got up the nerve to tell her mother that she was praying for her, her mother said, "Sima, I've been praying for you." So her mother was also a Christian, and we just praise God that he does set the captives free. A few years ago, the Gideons were making a distribution at the Washingtonville School of Nursing, and we distribute little testaments, a white bound cover here, to the nurses. And so a young girl received a testament there, and she wrote to a friend of hers that she knew that's a Gideon up in Columbia County. His name's Jack Lewis. And she said, "Today I had tests all day, but they gave us a little break during the tests, and in came some Gideons. And Jack, I know you're a Gideon." And she said, "I just had to tell you about it." She said, "I was all tense about these tests that we were taking." But she said, "When they gave me that testament and I held that in my hand," she said, "a calmness came over me, and I was able to continue with the tests and not to worry about what was going on with the tests, but to have comfort while I was doing that." There was a young girl named Mary Kay, and Mary Kay was a hardened prisoner. She was kind of like the Bonnie of the Bonnie and Clyde. And while she was in prison, she happened to hear the words from Jeremiah about a hardened heart. And she said, "God, if you can soften a heart, try to soften mine." Well, you don't challenge God with things like that, because as time went on, she heard some more of God's word. And after a period of time, she came to know that Christ was her Savior, and she accepted him. She had such a change in her life after she accepted Christ that the warden noticed, the guards noticed, and she wasn't supposed to be paroled for many, many years, and they paroled her. And she, today, she's married, and she teaches Sunday school and has such a joy in her heart, all because of Bibles that were placed around and made available to her in the prisons. I know our local camp, I'm from Northumberland, we used to go into the Northumberland County Prison every week and distribute God's word there and hold Bible studies. And many times in a prison, what we use in the prisons and distribute into the, leave in the libraries for them to read, are actually used Bibles that we have pulled out of hotels or motels. You see, a Bible will be in a hotel or motel for between about 5 years. 5 to 7 years is the average life before they become water-stained or just worn. And during that 5 to 7 years, over 2,000 people will have picked up that Bible and leafed through it, perhaps read it, looked at some of the spiritual suggestions and places that they can read. We have helps in the front. And so during that 5 to 7 years, it's being used there. But then we place them, the ones that aren't too badly worn, to the prisoners, because prisoners don't always have a respect for God's word. But then we come in and we will present them with their own personal worker's testament so that they can have their own testament to read and give it to them. So many times we would, I was just telling someone yesterday about being in the Northumberland County Prison, and one of the men that came in for Bible study, they had him in shackles. He had just murdered someone. But they said, "Are you scared?" I said, "No, I've never thought about being afraid. God's with me when I go in there." And actually, if anybody ever got out of order, it was surprising if they weren't listening or whatever. The other prisoners would say to him, "Hey, you better get in line, because he doesn't have to come here, and you're going to ruin it for the rest of us if you don't behave." So it's they kind of have their own self-disciplining system. Well, you may ask, how can I help the Gideons? Or how can you here at the First Church of the Nazarene help the Gideons? Well, the first and probably most important thing that you can do is pray for the Gideons. Pray for all Christians around the world. But as you pray, pray that they will have safety, that they will have freedom to make distributions. There, not too long ago, there were some Gideons in India went to make a distribution, and they ended up in jail for 2 weeks. Of course, that didn't stop them from witnessing to the jailers. But they do imprison them in some parts of the world. So pray for them that they will have the freedoms and the opportunity and the health and the safety to distribute God's word. There are stories of how Gideons will want to make a distribution, and they will have to walk to carry the Bibles, boxes of Bibles, to make their distributions. So lift those prayers up to them. There also may be a professional or businessman within this congregation that feels the calling to become a Gideon. And if there is, feel free to see me, or stop down and see Don Fogel. And I'm sure he'll be more than happy to invite you to a Gideon camp meeting here in Union County. And thirdly, you have opportunities to give to the Gideons. I was very pleased to see that you have what we call the Gideon card rack in the back of your church. And you can give Bibles in memory of someone. You can place Bibles. You can say, "I want to give 5 Bibles. Here's $25, and put it in an envelope. Mail the money to the Gideons, and then send the card yourself. And the card says, in memory of, you put the person's name in, and then a place to put down how many memorial Bibles you've given. Or you can give in thinking of you cards. You can send some cards that say in thinking of you, and fill out the envelope and send the money in. Or you can do in recognition of some special event that someone has had take place. Now, the young people may have to help us out on this, but on your bulletin insert that you received, there's a little symbol down here in the corner, and I forget what it's called. I happened to have, last week when I was speaking, there was a a fellow there that I know pretty well that is runs a computer business. He's a programmer. And I think he said it's called a check. But you can take your iPhone or your smartphone and hold that over it, and it will actually put you in to the Gideon International website. And you can go through that, and you can actually make a contribution by starting out with your smartphone on this check mark down here. So we have all these different ways. But as you do give to the Gideons in whatever way you do, don't think in terms of dollars. Think in terms of lives that will be touched. That a $5 Bible is going to touch over 2,000 hands in its lifetime. So think of souls saved, and God will lead you through His Spirit to do that. There was a Brazil Bible Blitz. That's when we go into a country and we distribute, we go to all the hotels, the motels, the hospitals, the nursing homes, the schools, and they were making a distribution in this school. And the teacher came forward and she said, it's been about 10 years since you were here last. And she said, I'd like to show you something. She said, I use these testaments because we can't afford books, so we use them to study and to teach the children to read. And she said, here in the back of this one, there's a place that says, I have accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, and they pray the sinner's prayer. And there's a place to sign names. That one testament alone had, in the 10 years, 9 children had signed in that one alone that they had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So as a testament like that, today the average cost is about $1.40. And that $1.40, God worked through that for young children to come to know Christ as their Savior. Once again, I'd like to say thank you for allowing me to be here this morning to bring the work of the Gideons and give a report to you. That's our job. We're not here to preach a sermon to you. We're here to give a report on how God is working today in the lives of people around the world. Thank you again. God bless you.